Everyone out there in KTWH land, it is time for our weekly hospital update, hospital and clinic update with Lakeview CEO Greg Ruberg. Welcome to the program this morning, Greg. I'm filling in for Katya. I'm glad you could make it.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, Greg, time can both seem to go fast and really slow during a pandemic. And is it at least a couple of 3 weeks since you began your system of having a countywide hotline and a series of pop-up clinics? Want to summarize what we've got going and how it's going?
Yes, we have been doing our pop-up clinics for the entire month now. We finished up most of Phase 1A in late January and then transitioned to the 65-plus pop-up clinics. I would say they've been going really well. Our primary challenge has been and continues to be vaccine supply. I want to just kind of touch on, again, why we did the hotline process, because we get a lot of questions, and I've gotten some criticism on this as well. We, as partners, put the COVID-19 hotline process in place so that we had one source of information that everybody could go to on a daily basis if they chose, or they could go weekly if they also chose. And the reason for that is we don't know when vaccine comes in. So we get some predicted allocation dates and times, but we don't always know how many doses we're going to get. So oftentimes we are, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night communicating back and forth about, are we confident the vaccine is going to be here? Can we schedule a pop-up clinic? Can we do this in a fair way so people have enough time to get on the hotline and then have some kind of forewarning that the next day they've got to register? So, if I knew a vaccine was coming into Lakeview every Tuesday, we would just schedule pop-up clinics every Wednesday and we'd have the set amount and it'd be actually very easy. That's not how it works. So, we'll get 1 week, we might get 100 doses. 1 week, we might get 60 doses. 1 week, it comes on a Monday late. 1 week, it comes on a Wednesday. Then you add in weather delays and shipments. There's all kinds of variables that we're trying to work through. But overall, when we talk about the hotline, once we get vaccine on site and people get registered, those pop-up clinics have been going very well. People have been able to come in. We're able to socially distance. We're able to get them through quickly. We've got the space in our new conference center to support all of that. So if we had more vaccine, we could just keep doing more of that.
Greg, I'm speaking with Greg Ruberg, folks, Lakeview Clinic and Hospital CEO. And Greg, if I'm not mistaken, didn't I hear this week, at least I heard through somebody, that either the Biden administration and or MDH said that we're expecting more vaccine in the pipeline. I assume that means getting to the state to distribute to all of these different vaccination centers.
Yeah, so there's two things I would comment on that. Number one, I agree. I think we've been hearing that there's going to be more and more vaccine. We've been hearing that for about a month, and we've actually been going the other way.
Okay.
So we're getting less vaccine every week than we did before, and I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, there's more sites now giving vaccine. So you've seen the pilot sites in Mountain Iron and across the state. Now recently the DEC was, opened up a community vaccination clinic. So all of those vaccines have to come from somewhere. So in the state of Minnesota, we know get about 1.69% of the federal allocation, and that's based on the population of Minnesota compared to the all 50 states. So that is just a formula that's being used. But as you add more vaccination sites in a state, vaccine's got to come out of that general allocation. So we've been seeing a little bit more challenge to get vaccine for here. But with that being said, I just got a report this morning, and this is worth sharing. Out of our 7-county region, which is northeastern Minnesota, Lake County right now is at number 2 at 20.6% of our population having at least one dose of the vaccine. Cook County is the front runner up in the high 30s. They're doing great. But we're doing well despite limited supply of vaccine. And again, we're very happy with that. It's been a challenging 3 or 4 weeks to get that vaccine and get it out quickly.
Is it possible that Lake and Cook might see a little less vaccine also in terms of the state trying to proportionate and get other areas that are lagging behind to get them additional doses?
I think so. I feel pretty confident saying that for Lake County. Our allocation comes in really through two ways. One, through our local hospital and clinics, both Lakeview and Two Harbors and Lakeview and Silver Bay, so that's one bucket. The other bucket is Lake County Public Health, and they're our partner. So they've been our partner in this entire process. So we take our allocations of vaccine together and then roll it out across the county. Both, we've done pop-up clinics in Two Harbors, as I mentioned, at Lakeview. We also went up to Silver Bay and did a pop-up clinic last week. That went very well with some vaccine for that community and surrounding communities. Cook County's in a little bit of a unique situation where they have a hospital. They've got a federally qualified clinic, which is different than our clinic, which is part of the hospital. They've got a skilled nursing facility. They've got the tribal government at Grand Portage, and then also public health. So they've got a couple of different channels that are really serving them well, which is great. I mean, they're just doing an amazing job. But they've got a pretty steady supply of vaccine, which is, I think, maybe a little bit atypical to the rest of the state or most of the counties.
Greg, Sarah Preston, public health nurse, clarified things for me on Tuesday by reminding me that not all the people who have been vaccinated in the county were vaccinated through the Lakeview and public health partnerships. So there are a number of people who may need to get their second doses from some other provider, but in terms of folks getting their second doses through the partnership between the county and the clinic, can you clarify right now when I call the hotline, they of course say that there are no current pop-up clinics scheduled, but they mention that you will be contacted by us when it's time for your second dose. Is there some confusion?
Yes, this is an ongoing area of confusion, there are a number of reasons for this. So when you talk about the pop-up clinic, so we did, on the hotline yesterday, we announced a pop-up clinic for today. So as we speak, from 8 a.m. until noon, we're doing a pop-up clinic in our conference center with all the vaccine that we received for this week. So that will all be given out at noon, and we'll be back down to zero. In terms of second doses, what we've been told, there's a couple things that we've been told from the very beginning from our state partners and the governor's office. Number one is, when you get first doses, give them all and give them all quickly. So we have a time frame of 72 hours to give all of our first doses. And so the guideline is 90% of all first doses given within 72 hours. So again, part of the challenge when it comes in on a different day or time every week is we've got to be flexible building 2 or 3 days of scheduled clinics to kind of coincide so we don't go over that 3-day window. So we've been able to figure that out, and that's been fine. The challenge we've also been told is you cannot, again, along the same line, you cannot hold vaccine to guarantee you have supply for your second doses. If you do, you're not going to get any more vaccine next week. So we've followed that. We've given all of our first dose vaccine out when we get it, according to the governor's guidelines of 72 hours, trusting that we're going to get our second doses. Now, we've spent a lot of work this week trying to make sure that we've got enough second doses to cover our entire second dose clinic next Wednesday, which is the 24th. And the reason we've always wanted to ensure that we've got vaccine in hand before we schedule anybody for a first dose or even a second dose, because we want to avoid scheduling a whole bunch of people and then having to cancel saying we have no vaccine, because they're going to be frustrated, and so would I. The flip side is we tend to wait until we get vaccine, which frustrates people because the turnaround time is so quick. But from the time we get it to the time we have to do the clinic. So we've heard from around the state of you know, public health agencies and hospitals and pharmacies and others scheduling clinics. The vaccine doesn't arrive, and then they cancel. And we've tried our very best. We have not canceled a single appointment yet due to that. But again, we've taken some criticism over that, which I think is fair. But when we share the reason why, people understand.
The second dose recipients will be contacted by the county and or Lakeview.
Yeah, so there's two ways that will happen. So if you have, so for example, for next week's second dose clinic on the 24th, you do not have to go back on the hotline and go through that whole process again. Once you've gotten in to get a vaccine, you're in the system. So for next week, people are being contacted today by phone, if they chose the phone option, and also by email through the PrepMob system, which is that system we're using to schedule. We're emailing out saying your second dose is due. Basically, we're confident that we're going to have the vaccine. Please pick your appointment time within this window of time. And so, you know, again, we've got that clinic built for next Wednesday. So people, you know, again, I would just encourage people to be patient. We will reach out to you. If it's a day before and you think you've been missed, certainly reach out, and we're happy to work through that with you. But in a perfect world, if you came in on February 1st for a vaccine and it was Pfizer, we would just schedule you 3 weeks out and say, here's your second dose at 2 o'clock, come in.
Right.
But there's no way, I just don't feel confident right. That we can do that without chaos.
So, Greg, when you're conducting the second dose clinics and you've lined up all the people, is there any provision made for no shows? Do you have people on a short order backup?
Yeah, so this has been a new challenge because we're now, you know, we've been doing these second doses here for about a week or so. And in the phase 1A, it was less of an issue because we had a captive audience. Most people worked in a hospital or clinic or within a healthcare system. We've had a handful of people just not show for a variety of reasons for that second dose clinic. And this is where we really get into trouble because we're scheduling second dose clinic for Pfizer about 3 weeks out and Moderna about 4 weeks out per guidelines. And so we don't have clinics scheduled every day. So if somebody misses a Wednesday clinic, we can't just say, well, come back tomorrow and get a dose, because we can't let the dose sit out. You know,
right.
You have to use it within 5 hours or so. And so that creates a significant challenge for us. And we've been able to work through that very well, you know, now, but it's going to get more complicated. The other thing I would share, which has been interesting, is when we're doing first or second dose clinics, every once in a while we get a vial with more vaccine. So if we can drop a full dose of vaccine, we want to give it. And this is kind of above what we're kind of planning for, and it's like a bonus because not every vial has that. What we've been able to do is just randomly select people, you know, in our building or elsewhere to say, we did a second dose clinic, we've got one vaccine left, we're going to give it to somebody 65 and older versus dump it down the drain. And so we have not wasted a single dose in thousands of vaccines that we've given at Lakeview or Lake County Public Health, which is, that was our goal from day one. This is a precious resource. We need to give it to everybody that we can.
Yeah, that is important to hear that that's the case. And can you speak at all to, there's some anecdotal reporting that a number of people have been having a more pronounced response to the second dose that they've received. Is this just the people that I've run into, or have you noticed more reports of a strong immune response, you know, a symptomology after the second dose?
Yes, I think the phrase you used is exactly perfect. It's the immune response. So we've seen some people, and I was one of those. I received the Pfizer vaccine. I got both shots. After the first one, I felt perfect. I didn't even know I had it. After the second one, I didn't feel like anything was really different. Maybe a little bit of fatigue, but it was really, I mean, I would not say it was vaccine-related 100%. Some people have had a more robust immune response where they get, you know, a low-grade fever, kind of that fatigue, spend maybe a half a day or a day in bed. And then some people have had a couple of days of that immune response. And it's really odd. It is really hard to predict. I mean, sometimes you think, well, maybe if someone's really healthy, they're going to either tolerate it well or not. That hasn't been the case. We've also seen in families where we've had a couple of people in the 1A where there were relatives, they both had kind of a similar reaction, which I think is kind of fascinating, that there's something to the genetics around the immune response possibly, or simply coincidence. We don't know. But it's in terms of any significant adverse reactions, we have not had that when people have been here for their 15-minute kind of observation period. It's more just those general malaise and fever and just not feeling all that great for a day or so, and then they're recovered and back to normal. But that's pretty rare, though. I mean,
right. But, of course, it kind of makes a little sense that they've developed a bit of a response to that, to the entity that is the viral vaccination. There are elements there that your body is going to now respond to maybe a little more strongly the second time it sees it.
Right.
I would like to have you weigh in a little bit on the fact that now we've had over 20% of our county's population vaccinated. Close to another 7% have had confirmed cases of COVID. And a significant number of people probably have had COVID but not had it diagnosed. So we're getting to that point where a number of people think that they've already had some immune response and have some immunity. And are we on the cusp of maybe seeing people be too casual in public and not pay attention to the array of things, certainly the masking being among the most concerning things, if people are going to stop being masked when they're within the physical distance of where the contraction of the disease is going to be most likely. We've had a little bit of an increase in our case numbers just this past week. Do you have any concerns you want to address?
Yeah, there's a couple things I would say around this one. This is probably the second most common question that I've gotten over the last week or so. You know, I think when we talk about the term effectiveness of the vaccine, I don't think any of us ever thought that when the COVID-19 vaccine came out that we were going to eliminate or mitigate COVID-19 to the point that it was just no longer here. So when we talk about the effectiveness piece, it's about that kind of significant disease or death, so that morbidity around COVID or even worse, death of people that are high risk. The vaccine is effective at preventing those hospitalizations and or death. It's not necessarily effective. It's not going to eliminate the virus. The virus is always going to mutate and create variants. Every virus, I think, has, just like influenza or anything else. I think the risk is of people, exactly what you're saying, is why I'm vaccinated now so I can take my mask off and I can go do what I want to do. And that's just not the way it is. So we think, and again, I don't think that it's clear, but people that have been vaccinated can still transmit the virus to people who have not been, or even maybe people who have been. So again, our goal has always been is to really reduce the risk for those high-risk individuals and take the pressure off of the healthcare system so we can adequately treat the people that need treatment, whether that's due to COVID infection on a ventilator or a heart attack or a stroke or a car accident or a broken leg, all of that. Had we not vaccinated people and protected those high-risk people, it would overwhelm the healthcare system to the point that we just couldn't handle it locally, across the state, or across the country. I will say, though, that I think Lake County has done an amazing job, and I say this over and over again, is when I'm out in public at the grocery store, there are very few people that are not wearing a mask. And there's a few people in the community that choose not to, and we all see that. But overall, people have been very good about this, and I feel good about being out, whether it's at the grocery store or a local business or a gas station with my mask on. The people around are respecting each other and are wearing those masks. And I've always said, whether you believe in it or not, it's a public health emergency. It was a crisis. We just need to do what's best, and people have done that. I think other counties, other states in the country have had maybe different experiences, but our numbers show we've held this under control for quite some time and doing well with the vaccination. So I think both of those have gone together well.
Any thoughts on current CDC guidance, which recommends that a second mask can be a real benefit? Do you see that happening very often, and is it the most important thing to have a well-fitting mask or to have two masks?
Yeah, so here's one of my criticisms or my opinion on it. It's been really difficult to sort through all of the guidance that we receive. And this is speaking as a hospital administrator, and I think as a community member, and I think other people feel the same. And again, we're learning, so we don't know all the answers. But when we hear things like, I've heard now this kind of push, well, we don't need the second dose of vaccine, just get one, it's good enough. Well, that's about 45 to 50%, we think. CDC guidance and MDH and everybody else is still going to get the second one. So I think when that comes out, it creates kind of some confusion or maybe mistrust, is it maybe a stronger word for some. The second masking, I think people that aren't going to wear a mask in the first place certainly aren't going to wear two.
Right.
In fact, they might
mock the whole concept because of that. Yeah.
Right, because I think we were told early on, I remember in the pandemic back in March of 2020, you don't need to wear a mask. Let the healthcare workers wear that, and so you can be out in public without it. Now you should wear it. Now we're at two. So, and I'll just speak to Lakeview. It's kind of where my influence is at. We've tried really, really hard within our walls and within our community and again with public health to be consistent and transparent and share what we think is, the best practice or the kind of the science-based or fact. I try to stay out of all the kind of the edges of that where things get confusing. I only wear one mask when I go out, and I don't wear two. I wear a surgical mask that after my day or two at work, I'll use it in the community. I make sure it's well-fitting. I don't touch it a lot. I don't touch my face. Right. I'm using hand wash. I think I certainly don't disagree with the CDC guidance, but I think from a resource standpoint, it was hard to get one mask for everybody. Now you go to two, it creates other challenges. So, again, I'm not opposed. I think we need a unified approach based on science and best practice, and we all follow that and be consistent. It's hard when it flips back and forth. And, again, back to the vaccine, I get really concerned when we say, well, now you only need one. Well, we've been telling people for a long time that two is that effectiveness goal. So it's hard to sort through that.
Yeah, and it's now compounded a little bit by our anxiety about how strong the impact is going to be from the variants in our spring coming up in our next month or so. And so there are some people who might think, well, if the disease is going to be more pernicious, maybe I need two masks. And, there's so many different schools of thought, but the main thing is we need to protect each other and follow at least what we've been doing up to now if we're going to make it through.
Yeah, and you hear cases anecdotally in our community where people have decided not to wear masks and get together and COVID spread. So we know that happens.
Right.
And again, we have to keep that to a minimum if we're going to keep being successful until we get vaccination up. And then people, again, like to your point, keep following the guidelines as best we understand them.
Well, Greg, we've taken a whole bunch of your time today, but I think it's been valuable. I appreciate everything that's being done in Lake County, and I sure hope that vaccines start showing up regularly and in nice, solid numbers that you can depend on. So if my thoughts were worth anything, I'm really thinking that you need more in the pipeline and you know what to do with it.
I agree. We have the infrastructure in place. We've got the staffing resource, the kind of the processes in place to give pretty high volumes of vaccine on a daily basis if we get them. Right now, we're giving every dose we get as quickly as we can, and we'll keep doing that.
Thank you, Greg. Katya will be back with you next week. We appreciate your time.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
That is Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospitals, talking to us about the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, the 11-month pandemic, and, of course, COVID-19 vaccinations that have been at times going gangbusters in our county. You're listening to KTWH, 99.5 FM, ktwh.org.